Your journey is important to God. Your journey in Christ is important to your family. Your journey is actually important to the world. Sometimes it's just something that just come out of nowhere and can knock us down. God can make your journey a great journey. And I want to show y'all how obedience plays a part in this. Obedience fortifies your journey. Obedience was not to be saved. Obedience was to save them some trouble and some pain. They were going to go free, but maybe not necessarily without pain if they didn't obey. Very thought-provoking topic this week, brothers and sisters. I'm Aaron Clark, and we're talking about God speaking His words to us, not to save us, but to guide us into the greatest blessing of our lives. Listen in. You know, life is full of journeys, and we're all going somewhere. We're all going somewhere in life. It's inevitable. As long as you're living, you're going. Some of us are going up. Some of us are going down. Some of us are just kind of plateaued, staying at the same level. And but it's the difference between the journey of everyday common folk who not in the fold and the people who actually walk with God. You know, the Christian, it's a journey within a journey. So there's a journey that the whole body of Christ is going on, where we all look forward to that glorious day that Jesus Christ returns and brings us all home, where it'll be noted, as it's noted, that they'll be all dressed in white robes, that people who have come through much tribulation and whited their robes in the blood of the Lamb and have overcome in His name. And we all, from every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every people, are all standing before the throne of glory. Amen. And that's our long journey. But within that journey, there are these personal journeys that we go through of faith and struggle and trial and tribulation and school and parenting and being a child and being a friend and working and playing and health and all kinds of things that we do in the Lord. And there are sometimes, man, where we just riding. I mean, just soaring on the wings of the wind in the Lord. I mean, and it is great. It's like, you know what? No matter what come my way today, I'm gonna win. I got the victory in Christ Jesus, and ain't nobody can tell me anything different. And we done tapped into that source of grace, that no matter what's behind us, the devil can come up and tell us, you know, well, you're just a dirty loser. That's what you used to be. So really, that's what your definition is. And we say, no, that's a lie, because the words say I'm a new creature. So get on out of here with that garbage. But then there are some times when we struggle. And sometimes it's a personal struggle. Sometimes it's things we've been going through. And sometimes it's just something that just come out of nowhere and can knock us down. And I want to encourage you that as we journey, we got to keep going. We got to get back up, and we got to keep going. We got to find our strength in the Lord. And the beautiful thing about being on a journey is understanding that God can make your journey a great journey. He can fortify your journey. He actually can make your journey a path with walls in it so that there is actually no way for you to fail. That will just automatically funnel you right into His glory. Right into good things. Right into joy that you didn't expect, and blessing and relationships and all these things. And you look back over the course of your life and say, that was God all the time. Amen. And I'm glad I'm where I'm at. And so for that reason, your journey is important. And I want to tell you three reasons your journey is important. Your journey is important to God. When I mentioned Abraham this morning, I told you that it started with him on a journey. The Bible says that God came to Abraham and told Abraham to leave his family, his father's house, his kinfolks, his land, and go to a place that He was going to show him. He sent Abraham on a journey. And the Bible says in Romans 4:20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So as God sent Abraham on his journey and Abraham responded, the Bible says that that gave glory to God. That's important to God, to give him glory. Your journey in Christ is important to God. Your journey in Christ is important to your family. Sometimes I know if you anything like me, you can be like, am I proud of my family? I don't know if it's mean anything to my family. Some of us don't have families that we are proud of. Some of us do. Some of us, our families are struggling and hurting and going through all kinds of stuff. Some of our families are fragmented and separated. Well, some of us got close-knit families. But even the closest-knit family can be together, but not in Christ. Your journey in Christ is important to them. Listen to what God tells Moses to tell the children of Israel. This is Deuteronomy 30:19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day to you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live. This is a blessing to you and your family. Some of us don't think that what we're doing right now is going to have any impact on our children or our children's children, but it does. And lastly, your journey is actually important to the world. It's important to the people around you. Think about it. On a different scale, it just seemed like whatever Jay-Z say goes. I mean, he's not on the same journey we on, but Jay-Z speaks and people listen. You know, it's like Jay-Z is the new E.F. Hutton or something, you know. And then you got other stars and people like that, that they get on Facebook or they tweet or something like that. And their journey that has taken them to stardom means something to the world. It's the same way in Christ. Listen to what God says in Isaiah 61. He says, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. How many of y'all ever seen that family? Like, man, that they are doing it in the Lord. Like, they are blessed. It's a blessed family. You know, you look at the grandpa and the son and then the grandson and all the great grandchildren. It's like, this is amazing. I've been in cookouts like that, just looking at the uncles, the brothers, the aunts, and it's like I go sit and have a corn on the cob with this one and they preach Jesus to me, and I go over to the cousin and they preach Jesus to me, and I go over here and they give me a testimony. It's like, man, this is amazing that the whole family is connected in Christ. You can see that God has blessed them. God said that that's what following him would be like on this journey. So when we think about journey, there's this thing that actually makes our journey fortified. There's this thing that actually makes our walls so that we can't get off track too much. And it's called obedience. Obedience fortifies your journey. I want us to open up our Bibles to Exodus, if you have a Bible. Exodus chapter 19, or pull out your device, your phone, or your tablet, or your laptop, or whatever you have that you have the Bible on. And we're going to read a little bit of what God says about being obedient. And this is Exodus chapter 19. Exodus is the second book in the Bible. So it's Genesis and then Exodus. And he says in verses 5 and 6, he says, now if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, somebody might say, well, that's just for the children of Israel. Aaron, you read an Old Testament doctrine. None of that applies to us today. Well, that's not true, because when Jesus Christ came, he said, you know what? I came for this fold, but he also said, but there's another people that I got to bring into this fold, and they all going to be one people and all going to share in the benefit of the blessing of Abraham. God told Abraham, he said, hey, if you go like I'm telling you to go, all families of the earth shall be blessed by you. Amen. And so here is God saying to the children of Israel, if you will obey my voice, if you will obey my voice. Now, listen to what he says. You shall be a peculiar treasure to me. This is God saying, I have specific things that I want you to do that are going to make you special to me. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to be special to God, but I have, and I have failed miserably. I thought I knew what to do to be special to God, but it only made me worse. I thought I would do this. I thought I would work hard on my career, work hard on being a better person. I thought I would think positive. But he says, no, the only way you can really be special to me is if you obey my voice. And he says, now listen to this. So this is to God. He says, I want you to be special to me. And then listen to this. He says, a special treasure unto me above all people of the earth, for all the earth is mine. So that's identity also in the world. Brother Caleb mentioned to us this morning that people fight for acceptance among people in the world. And instead of fearing the Lord and obeying the Lord, they fear someone else and they obey them, and then they end up becoming something to somebody that can't do nothing for them at the end of the day. So God is saying, if you will obey my voice, then I will make you special to me. Have you ever thought about that? Just think about that right now. God is saying, I want you to be special to me. That's pretty cool, huh? God saying, I want you to be special to me. Now, I know some of us think, well, all I have to do to be special to God is go to church every day, or go to church every Sunday, right? All I have to do to be special to God is just keep all of the commandments, right? And to be special to God, I got it fixed in my mind what I need to do to be special to God. But he says, no, to be special to me, you need to obey my voice. Think about this now. Now, disclaimer. Obedience has nothing to do with saving you. I want you to remember, if you know this story, this word that he spoke to the children of Israel is after he saved them. Okay? They were in bondage, under duress, captive by Pharaoh, or evil tyrant. God came and saved them, brought them into a particular place, and then he said, now I have saved you, now I want to make you special. So I want you to make sure you don't twist this obedience thing up with your salvation. This has nothing to do with being saved. This is post-salvation. Amen? Check the story. So the story actually goes like this. Exodus 11, this is before this. Exodus 11, 1, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go. And when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out all together. He's going to kick y'all out of here. Because God was saying, basically, the children of Israel were in hard bondage. God made the promise to who? To save them. He said, to Abraham. He said, Abraham was on his journey. He said, your children are going to be in this land captive for 400 years, but I'm going to come and save them. He comes down to Moses. Moses on the backside of the mountain. He says to Moses, he says, Moses, I have come down now. I have heard the cry of my people, and I have come down now to save them. He says this. He goes into Egypt. He doesn't say to them, hey, look, I'm going to set y'all free if. He didn't say, I'm getting ready to come and plague Pharaoh and he's going to set y'all free. But there were no ifs, ands, or buts about the salvation that God was bringing to Israel. He came down on his own accord as a promise by faith and saved them. Exodus 12:12-13, he says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt. And I want to show y'all how obedience plays a part in this. He says, for this is Exodus 12:12-13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, and the gods are the rulers. I am the Lord. Verse 13, he says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, he didn't say, if I don't see the blood on your door, I'm not going to save you. But there's going to be a loss in your house. It didn't matter whether they put the blood on their door. I want y'all to think about this now. God told Moses, I'm coming tonight and Israel going to be set free. But the firstborn is going to die. So their obedience was not to be saved. Their obedience was to save their firstborn, to save them some trouble and some pain. They were going to go free, but maybe not necessarily without pain if they didn't obey. And that's why we need to think about this journey, because that was the beginning of a journey for them. And they needed to obey, but not to be saved, but to save them some pain. Let that sink in a little bit. Because remember I said, we ain't talking about being saved, but we are going to look at being saved from some trouble. We're talking about, do you have to go through what you go through? I want you to just think about the children of Israel. They leave out of Egypt. And, you know, they sing the song of Moses and they dance and they feast. And it's just a joyful occasion. And years later, you know, they sit down. You got grandpa and you got the son and you got the grandson. And they're like, man, do you remember that day? Boy, and they sing the song again. God delivered us that day. And the grandson may be like, I wasn't there, but it must have been good. You know, and the son is like, you know, I was just a boy. I was 10. I remember, man, they were crying and God parted the water and we went through and God did an amazing thing. And he could tell his son that. And the joy as he talked to the brother and the uncles and the nephews and the whole family is like, remember what the Lord has done. He spared our firstborn. But now think of how the dynamic would change if Uncle Gus didn't put that blood over the door. They got free. But Uncle Gus lost a son that night. And it hurt bad. And Uncle Gus is angry. And he don't really want to go through the whole thing again. Uncle Gus didn't show up for the festival this year. The past year, Passover's come, but Uncle Gus ain't coming because it just stirs up so much pain and grief for him that he ain't coming. Because Uncle Gus didn't obey. Is Uncle Gus saved? Uncle Gus got saved, didn't he? But Uncle Gus is dealing with a lot of pain. And Uncle Gus got three other sons that lost an older brother because Uncle Gus didn't obey. And the little brothers and the little sisters, they all in grief too because they want to go, but they can't understand why they can't get dad to go join everybody else. And dad really don't want to tell them, well, because I was disobedient. So he just kind of explains it away, but you know what? We just ain't going. We can play that a million different ways, can't we? That disobedience to God, it don't necessarily mean you ain't saved, but boy, it can sure cause you some problems. And some of those problems can be just like it was with Uncle Gus. It can just take you out of fellowship. It can discourage you to the point where you just don't even want God no more. And now you're spewing this thing out and you got your kids and you're pulling your kids away. And it's just crazy because Uncle Gus didn't obey. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that God wants your journey to be a blessing to you. You know, it's often thought, especially with our younger generation, that obedience is just God limiting us. You know, he's just putting up walls and just keeping us from everything fun and good. And we'll never laugh again if we can't sin. You know, how are we going to have fun if we can't sin? God is not that good. This is what Chip Ingram says. He says, if life in God's will and purpose is a journey, there are dangerous turns and drop-offs. And if you go off the road, you're dead. And that's true of life also, end quote. He went on to explain, and you can find this video on Right Now Media. He went on to explain how we don't realize that God's word, God's voice is like the guardrails, is like the walls that make sure you get to the greatest blessing of your life. You know, I mean, hey, all of us can probably hit the guardrail pretty hard and bounce back and forth, right? And spit out maybe, you know, but thank God them guardrails there, right? You know, some of us, you know, the shock of spinning out and hitting the wall and the car is wrecked and we sit there for a little while and we wait on the Holy Ghost tow truck. Got the off-road mechanic and get you going again. We've been stuck before, right? But praise God for his grace and mercy that he got these guardrails there. And sometimes we feel like, man, I need to cuss somebody out. And God is trying to make me not cuss. Or I need to drink this problem away. But God is saying, no, stop that. Or you know what, man? I just been single so long. I'm just one time I'm going to get with this girl. And I ain't going to do it no more. And we don't understand that God got those guardrails there to get you to the best blessing of your life. God is not putting his voice there to simply keep you from his goodness. It's to guide you to his goodness. Let's look at the story just a little bit more, y'all. And let's look at it. So we're back at Exodus chapter 19. We're going to go back to the first verse. So I want you to look at this. The first verse, just somebody read the first four words. What does it say?
In the third month.
Now, why does that even matter? Why does that even matter? This is just 90 days after they went free. So I want you to think about this. This is November now. So November, October, September, August. So this would be summer for us. We just got saved. Now, just think about this now. We just got saved a few months ago. In 3 months' time, we have been starving. We have been in a desert where there's no water. And we have been in a war. In 3 months. This is, you read the story. They ended up in a place where there was no water. God makes water come out of the rock. They ends up in a place. God says to Moses, I know they're hungry. I know they're starving. I know they're ready to kill you. But I'm doing something here. I'm going to rain down manna from heaven. And I'm going to see if they're going to follow my ways. I want to see if they're going to obey my voice or not. So God tells them, he says, this is what's going to happen. Y'all hungry, you're starving, you're ready to kill Moses, but I'm going to bring food down for you every single day. But here's the deal on that. You only eat enough for today and don't store up nothing for tomorrow. First test. Man, you know how hungry we've been? Put some of that stuff, bring some bags out here. And you know what? They did that. They didn't trust God. They didn't obey. And the Bible says that they stored up that manna and it bred worms and started to stink. Stink up everything. Because you didn't obey. Not just because worms die and stink, because you didn't obey. Everything starts to stink. So here it is, 3 months later, they have gone through what they've gone through. And it says, and when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into flowery fields? What do y'all say? Does it say the land of milk and honey? What does it say? The wilderness. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert. In wilderness, desert. And had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mountain. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you saw what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings. Now some of us can go back to that. Some of us can go back to the moment when we first got saved. That was the eagle's wings. When that grace poured into your soul and you realized your sins were forgiven and you had another chance at life, and you were just, it was just, man, I remember telling Pam, I was like, Pam, look at the trees. Look at that. I was just staring out the window like everything was just beautiful. And I mean, I know people thought I was crazy. God, man, hey, man, how you? I was speaking to people. I love you. I love you. And I was crying and running around. He saved me. He saved me. He saved me. I'm telling you, I was on eagle's wings for a while, man. I mean, when it dawned on me that the Lord had been there the whole time, when I looked back and even when I thought I was lost, that the Lord had saved me. He was keeping me. I cried for 3 days. 3 days straight. I had to just be quiet. Because it's like, if I say anything, I'm going to lose it. They'd be like, hey, how you doing? I'd be like, okay. Okay. Because I wanted to say, man, I just got saved. And he says, you remember that time? And the thing is it goes from the eagle wings to the valley. From the water to the desert. From plentiful to having to trust God every day. Every day. And he's saying, no, I know it's plenty out here for you to get, but I only want you to get enough for today. See, that's how some of us live right now. Let me just side note right here. It's plenty of money out here to get in it. All you got to do is go work 90 hours. Work 90 hours, you can get all the money you want, right? Or just get another degree. I mean, okay, you got your associates, take it up to the bachelor's. Got your bachelor's, work it up to the master's. You got your master's, all right, now let's go on up to the doctorate. Why don't you add another doctorate degree to that? Get 3 doctorates. Because there's plenty out here to gather. But we don't realize God is not saying, I want you to go out here and gather. I want you to learn how to trust me every day. So he says this weird thing. If you will obey my voice. Now, I don't know if you think about, and the voice of the Lord came walking in the cool of the day. I don't know if you think about Psalm where he says, the voice of the Lord doeth valiantly. Listen to this. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He says, obey my voice. Now, I know in this age of it's no more being said than what's written, but God is talking. And I want you to remember that when he said this, there were no scriptures. The Bible doesn't say, and someone handed Abraham a note from heaven that said, Abraham, I want you to leave. Abraham heard the voice of the Lord. There was a voice that was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, talking to Adam. He says, obey my voice. You know, some of us say, you know what? I should have went with my first mind. Wonder if that was the voice of the Lord. I wonder if it's the Lord saying, pray. I wonder if it's the Lord saying, read. I wonder if it's the Lord saying, don't go over there. I wonder if it's the Lord saying, it's time for you to end this relationship. I wonder if it's the Lord saying, you know what, you need to make it right with that person. I wonder if that's the Lord. I wonder if that's the voice that seems that is so outside of what is written, but is very practical, very doable, and very tangible, that the voice of the Lord is guiding us. It was the voice of the Lord through Moses, and I know it can come through Moses. It can come through the prophets. It came through Jonah. It came through Noah. You know, it came through Peter. It came through scrolls. It came through a lot of things. But, you know, today we have this voice living inside of us called the Holy Spirit. Talking to us. Sometimes saying to us things very contrary to how we feel in a given moment. I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to forgive them. I don't want to give him nothing. I don't feel like getting up to pray. I don't feel like staying here. I don't want to do this. And God knew that the children of Israel would have the same problem. He said, you know what? If you would just obey my voice, that's how you end up being special to me. He didn't say that's how you end up being saved. He said, that's how you end up being special. That's how you end up in that place that you rejoice in. That's how you end up in that place where your peace is on 10. That's what, where you rejoice the most in life is when you listen to the voice of the Lord. How many of y'all have ever had a struggle inside you and you knew it was the voice of the Lord telling you to do one thing? It wasn't a scripture you remember, but you knew it was the Lord's voice talking to you, telling you to do something. And you struggled and you wrestled with it. And then eventually you denied yourself and did what the voice of the Lord said do, and you felt so much better. It just felt good. Guess what? All that good, that's what he wants. He wants that good that you felt in that moment to compound. To just get better and better and better. And sometimes it'll be harder and harder and harder. But God wants you to have better and better and better. And sometimes you got these walls that are super high in your life. And God is saying, climb that wall. I want that. I want you got to get over this. And we'll say, you know, it's my condition, or it's this person, or it's this situation, or it's this government entity, or it's my financial situation. I don't want to do what it takes to get over this wall, not knowing that on the other side of that wall is your specialty. That's your specialness. And you might climb and you might shed blood climbing over that wall. But when you get to the other side, you're going to say, man, I'm so glad I did this. I'm so glad I did this. There have been times, and I'm going to give you something real simple. There have been times, and I'm going to be candid with y'all here, okay? There have been times when the Lord is pressing on me to do something as simple as pray. And I know y'all say, come on, you struggle with prayer? No, it's just y'all. And something can have me struggling with prayer. And I mean, my list is this long. My voice is loud. You know, all my little to-do stuff, I lay down and I made my list. This is what I'm going to do as soon as I get up in the morning. I get up in the morning and I just want to hit the ground running. Lord, say, stop. You got 2 hours before you get to your next, before you have to be at your first place. I want you to pray. I don't want to pray. I want to pray. I want to leave. I want to get a head start on my day. And I want to get to my business. I got a lot of work to do. And if I get on it early, I can get done early, Lord, and get to my children. You want me to love on them, right? And I'll fight through. And I'm going to tell you, I haven't won that battle every time, but I have suffered enough trouble from not doing that. I said, let me get out on my knees and pray, because I don't know what this day going to bring. Why he's stopping me right here? You know, he didn't do that yesterday. Today must be something different. So let me pray. And I get out on my knees and pray. And I get up like, man, I'm so glad I did that. So we know that it's real. God wants you to be blessed. He really does. And I want you to understand, I'm not going to try to describe that blessing to you, because I don't know what your blessing is. I don't know what you being special is to God. I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to even try to venture into that realm. That's God's business. But I know one thing. His word says you will be special. Whatever that is to him, I guarantee you it's going to be good. And that's what he wants for your life. Some of us get to a place where we are obeying God's voice, and then it gets hard. You get to that big one. Like, oh no, I ain't going there. I ain't doing it. No. Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what happened? Do you know what happened the last time I was? No, Lord, I've been up against this wall before. I'm not doing this. It's not worth it. I want to encourage you, go on. See what the end is going to be. God is faithful. This is what Brother Paul Fisher created VeggieTales. And that's another resource you can find on VeggieTales. He ended up, y'all may not have known this, but he lost everything. Guess what he said it was because of? Not obeying the voice of the Lord. He said it had nothing to do with sin. He didn't fall into some affair. He wasn't squandering money. But it was just little by little he had began to put his work and the things that he was doing for God before that voice that was telling him to do things step by step. And he ended up losing everything. Is he still saved? Yes. Is he having a lot of problems? Yes. Am I trying to scare you? No, I'm doing what the scripture says. Stir one another up to good works. Obey God so you can have his best. Because he says he wants you to be special to him. I want to see you like God wants to see you. Joyful, happy, on track, enjoying God's best, flowing on eagle's wings. Because that's what he wants. So you may say, okay, well, what do I do? How do I? Because if you're anything like me, I've heard this myself and been like, but my schedule doesn't allow for obedience. I'm just being real with you. I'm in my groove, Lord. I can't stop and this whole obey my voice thing. I can't stop. I mean, my schedule is, the engine is fired up. We full steam ahead here. You saying stop and do stuff instantly. Well, first thing you need to do is live in community. It's the community and the household of faith. Well, what does that mean? What do you mean live in community? Well, for me, it was letting people know just what I told y'all. This is what I'm struggling with. God is stopping my train. I feel like every car behind the engine is very important. I don't think I can stand to see it all derailed. And he's saying stop. And they say, you know what they say? Let's pray, brother. Because it's going to be to your benefit that you do what God say do and not try to keep your train running. Mike Hurt says, you can't be obedient and live isolated. This is Mike Hurt. That's right now, another right now media. I'm loving that right now media. He says, you can't do it. The Bible says that the whole body is joined together and everybody is built up by what each one of us supplies. And it builds the whole body up to a point where it grows in love to glorify Christ. Second thing, study the Word. How can you know what is going to shape your thoughts if the only thoughts that are going through your head is what's been going through your head for the last 28 years? So if the Word is not shaping your thoughts, if the Word is not shaping your worldview, if the Word is not giving you your footing, then it's going to be very hard for you to hear the voice of the Lord, because the other voices are going to be so loud. You have been pointed to the world for so long. You have been pointed to the comfort of your flesh for so long. You've been doing it your way for so long. The voice is going to get drowned out. He says you will hear a still small voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in this. God's not going to come yelling and screaming at you. So you got to quiet that noise. And the way to quiet that noise is the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Third thing, be open to accountability. I had some folk rebuke me and just tell me I'm wrong. Just almost leave me laying there bleeding on the floor, wallowing in my, son, you are killing yourself and you're killing your family and you're gonna pay for this. Man, couldn't you have done that a little more graciously? I kind of wanted somebody to just kind of come put their arm around me, but in my heart I know I wasn't gonna listen to that. I needed a cut. We got to be open to accountability, y'all. Now, I'm not saying let somebody come tell you what kind of couch you need to have in your living room or tell you what job you need to be choosing. Now, if God prophetically come and do that, amen. But generally speaking, people need to be encouraging people to live according to what the Scripture says. Amen. That's where the guidance should be coming, according to what the Word of the Lord is saying. So be open to that. Be open. Be open. Just right now. Say, Lord, deliver me from pride. Deliver me from pride. Admit your faults. Just say, I have a tendency that I will probably judge you when you're telling me what I need to do. Because I'm probably going to look at what's wrong with you and justify why I don't need to do what you're saying. I don't care if it is in the Bible. I ain't going to do it because of you. Been there, done that. Wrong answer. I don't care if they are drunk. If they're giving you scripture, do it. Because it'll be good for your soul. Fourth thing, pray and trust God for strength. I gave you a scripture today. Psalm 29. At the very end, it's a scripture to hold on to. The voice of the Lord. He talks about the voice of the Lord. Then at the very end, he says, the Lord will bless his people with strength. He will give strength to his people. He will bless his people with peace. The ultimate goal of God is not even ultimate being special to him. God wants to bring you into a perfect peace. Perfect peace. A peace that passes all understanding. A peace that nobody can defy. That no enemy can fail. A peace that wins all wars. So in closing, as I said in the beginning, every single one of us is going somewhere. Be real with yourself right now. How does your journey look right now? Is it void of peace? Is it void of joy? Do you have big pillars of contention and anger and rage and all of that going on? How would you like your journey to look? God says, your journey looks like this if you obey me. You'll be special to me. Families around the world will say, man, that they are blessed. Now, listen, some of us can be in a place right now. You listening to this right now, and you can feel like, you know what? I'm too far gone. I'm too far gone. It's just been too long. Ain't no way. Ain't no pulling out of this. No pulling out for who? Because if you're going to trust in your own arm, then that's true. You're too far gone. But if you're going to trust in the arm of the Lord, you ain't too far gone. If God can raise the dead, He can surely make a living man new. That is, I live by that. I live by that every day. If God can make a grave open up because of the sound of His voice and dead people get up and walk, and I say I believe that, then I better believe He can do something with me. Amen. God can take you from sorrow to joy. God can take you from despair to hope. God can take you from hate to love. God can take you there. If you just say, you know what, Lord, show me the way. I'll walk in it. I want to live this journey with you, Lord, and you have said what your plan is for me. And that is very simple. You're going to make me something special to you. God will do it for you. I just hope that you understand that this didn't start solely with Abraham, because the great I am is Jesus Christ. And He sets the tone when we look at Him facing one of the hardest moments in His life, and that's the cross. And He says, you know what? I'd rather pass this cup to somebody else. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. This was the King of glory. Ain't no way salvation could be taken away from Him either. But it would have caused a lot of problems if He would have said, you know what? I ain't doing this. His obedience meant something to God. His obedience meant something to His family. And His obedience means something to every family in the world. Let us follow in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know what, Lord? Not my will, but thine be done. Amen.
Thought. The Lord really desires that we be that special, that unique person, but not to the world, to Him. And that's why He wants us to obey. He guides us to the greatest blessing of our lives. And that's a blessing. Well, that's it for this week. I'm Aaron Clark in for Spirit and Truth Christian Church Ministries. And you can listen to this and other messages on our website at spirittruthchurch.net. Check us out on the web, also on Facebook, Spirit and Truth Christian Church Ministries in Kankakee. On our website, you can also find our service times as well as request prayer or a ride if you need, and many other interesting things, video blogs and all that kind of stuff. Till next week, hey, God bless you and keep you.